felt prompted to say this before I just kind of start in was, whatever the Holy Spirit might deposit in your heart tonight, whatever you personally receive, just felt to exhort you to take it and quickly sow it into your own, back into your time with Jesus. Take that. Take whatever he gives you tonight and don't just let it sit. Because I just felt a check, as Derek was praying, I felt a check of the Holy Spirit tonight to say, it will likely disappear. Whether it be distraction or the enemy coming and stealing that. You know the scripture about the soil and how the enemy comes and likes to steal that? I don't know why. I just felt like, hey, we have to check this. Because I will tell you, it's not for lack of preaching that I've struggled in my life. It's a lack of applying what I hear and going and sowing it right back into my time with the Lord, or obeying what I've heard from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anybody else agree with that? I have derailed seasons. I have literally been going full force in the Lord. And you ever have those times and you literally just, the train just literally derails and you have a train wreck. And I'm not saying it's like, whatever it is, you could just be going hard, and because you haven't taken up that word and you haven't been obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying, quickly. What's the scripture say? When you hear the word of the Lord, do not harden your hearts, as they did in the rebellion. I don't know. It's like, man, here's what's dangerous about hearing a word and not obeying it quickly, is that something comes to even twist that thing and make you rebellious against that thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being... you hear a word about... This is really echoey, by the way. But...
Hello.
Maybe Joe knows. I always say, Bo knows, Joe knows. Actually, I don't know why I say that. I just came up with that. Oh, does that help? Hello, hello. Check, 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 check. I don't know. We're good if not. Is this okay? Is it all right if it echoes? Is it good? Hello, check, 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 check. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, well. We'll just pretend that we're in the courts of heaven. Ooh. We kind of are, actually. So, say. Hello, hello, hello. Check, 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 check. Joe, 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 Joe. We need to eat Culver's later. Butterburger, 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 Butterburger. We good? Is it worse? Okay. All right, I'll just go. I'll just try to hold it down here. All right, you ready?
Ready.
All right, woo! Awesome. That was a tongue gate. There we go. Is everybody feeling what I'm saying? So I'm saying that up front because after you leave tonight, there's something I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. You can't lose sight of this, or you can't just forget what was said as if it was said for something that is just going to remain here, because I feel like the enemy wants to come and distract from whatever it is the Holy Spirit might say tonight. Okay? All right. Well, here's what happened. It was about a week and a half ago. Maybe it was a week ago. In fact, or Friday. Maybe it was this week. I don't remember. I had a dream. In the dream, yeah, don't worry about it. You guys all right? I don't care. We're good. You figuring it out? Okay. I had a dream. In the dream, I was praying. I was praying and I was fasting. And in the dream, I remember beginning to intercede and pray. And I saw Lou Engle, and I saw some people from The Call. beginning to pray as well. And I remember as I was praying and fasting, a faith entered into my heart, and I began to just go for it in prayer. You ever have those times of prayer when you're like, I just, you know, I can't see with my eyes, but I know by faith these are hitting the mark. You ever have those moments and you're just like, you know, I don't know, not that you always have to feel prayer, but sometimes you actually do feel the faith in the prayer, and you're like, whoa, where did this come from? And that was one of these moments in the dream. I'm feeling faith in the prayer. And all of a sudden, Lou and the call and all these people begin to lift up a roar of victory. And I woke up out of the dream saying a phrase that I felt like I had heard before, but I didn't know where in the world it came from. And I didn't know why I was saying it. I literally woke up out of the dream saying, raise up the age-old foundations. And has anybody heard that before? Raise up the age-old foundations. So I woke up and I thought, wow, that's interesting. I don't really even know what that means. I was thinking about it. And I was like, well, the call is going to do an event called Rise Up. How many of you guys have heard of Rise Up? And Rise Up is really for men and women, but really it's a call even for the women in this nation, in the church, to take their stand and rise up against the tide of what the world is saying femininity should be, or what the woman's voice should be. And God is saying, I put within the DNA, spiritual DNA of the woman to birth. And prophetically, God had told the call that the reason the Jesus movement had happened, they looked for the prayer movement, and every other massive major revival, they looked for prayer movements, and they always find some sort of a prayer movement that birthed the revival, but they were struggling because they were seeing the Jesus movement happening in the 70s. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say the Jesus movement? Well, some of you are like, well, no, I wasn't alive. That's news to me. Well, there was a massive move of God in our nation, and it swept really from coast to coast throughout, a lot of it in the Midwest, a lot of it on the West Coast, but in the campuses and the young adults and all this stuff, and people were just getting saved, and the hippies, and you know, it was just one of those times. And you know, Lou says, you didn't have, all you had to do, you said boo in the streets and people were just getting saved. It was just boo, Jesus, I need Jesus. It was like, that was how intense the presence and the revival and the awakening was. And so they were like, where was the prayer beforehand? And they discovered, the Holy Spirit said, it came from a million mothers crying out for their children who had turned away in the massive cultural rebellion back in the 60s and the 70s. And that's pretty profound, isn't it? That God was responding whole scale to a million moms crying out for their lost sons and daughters. And so this whole Rise Up movement has to do with calling back the voice of the women, even those who aren't mothers yet, but you want to be a mother into this generation and begin to let your voice be heard before the throne. And what if God moves with a third great awakening to save this nation, to turn the course of this nation? How many of you guys believe that it's going to require a spiritual awakening to turn this nation? Amen. There are helpful things that happen in government and all of those things that we can do. But really, the root issue is a spiritual one. Amen? We know that. So what am I saying? I had this dream. Raise up the age-old foundation. So I looked it up. And I actually didn't know it, but I was actually quoting a Bible verse. In the dream, I was praying and fasting. Well, what I found out is that raise up the age-old foundations is actually a verse from Isaiah 58, which is the fasting chapter. This is the fast I have chosen. And you can go read the context of the whole thing, but it comes to a point where it says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That's Isaiah 58:12. So I thought, well, how interesting. God is calling. I was fasting and God's saying, Listen, I'm speaking to you. I am calling the people to enter into a chosen fast. This chosen fast is intended to raise up age-old foundations. I've been pondering the phrase. I've been looking at it, and I'm still like, raise up the age-old foundations. Raise up the age-old foundations. What does that mean? So I want to talk about raising up the age-old foundations tonight. Is that all right? All right. Thank you, Jesus. I actually believe this is a really important word. Do you ever know that the prophetic is... I love the prophetic. In fact, recently I was just teaching in Washington, Illinois, just a small class on the prophetic, and it was people who never really understood or never really had any sort of teaching on biblical prophecy or just the gift of prophecy or anything like that. And, you know, I just was trying to demystify it because I was like, you know what? You know what is prophetic? The Bible is prophetic. You know what is prophetic? Whenever your life looks like Jesus, whenever your aroma is of Christ, whenever you are bearing testimony of Jesus, whenever you are declaring truth, the word of God, whenever you are in worship and praise, you are being a prophetic person. It's true. The Bible says, I and the children, we are for signs and wonders. We have been ordained, those of us who have come into Christ, believers, Christians, we are signs and wonders in the earth. Amen. We got to think of ourselves this way, not because of anything that we've done. I know some of us think that, like, yeah, we really are a sign and a wonder. I think I thought that at one point. And then I got married, and my wife's like, you're no sign and wonder. No, just kidding. Anyway, poor Kelly. She's not here to defend herself. Kelly's awesome. She loves me. But she just has a way of humbling, right? Somebody said marriage is not to make you happy. It's to kill you. Actually, it's just to make you more Christ-like. It's actually to make you more prophetic. It's actually to bring you into more conformity with who God's called you to be as a man of God, as a woman of God. Amen? Awesome. Where was I going with this? So I know. I was just talking about the prophetic. Sometimes the prophetic is we just confuse it, but it's so simple. The Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. So I love it. My kids prophesy all the time. We drive around. We go. This is one of our favorite things to do. I brought my daughter Josie, and we have two boys, and we drive around. And I did not start this game. My kids started it. And they start, we roll down the windows when it's like nice outside. And, you know, we drive a lot by the college campus or a lot, just where there's people outside walking. And my kids are like, drive by Jesus bombs. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And the kids have this competition to be like, which one is hearing them? So it's like intense. Jesus loves you. And I'm like, they are not ashamed of this. And I'm like, just drop that bomb on them, because you know what? You could dismiss some angry person on the corner shouting, but when the kid is in the, it just almost like disarms the heart, and they're like, oh, everybody smiles. Oh, it's like, wow, the love of Jesus just touches a heart because a kid said it. That's prophecy. That's prophetic. Amen. Come on. Anyway. So, yeah, amen. So prophecy has a way of informing us, though, about what Jesus wants to say, when he wants to say it, on what scope of time. And that's what I believe this dream was. I believe it was a prophetic dream that God is saying. Not only is this a word for the nation in the United States that it's time to raise up the age-old foundations, I believe God's saying that for us as individuals and to the body of Christ, it's time for us to enter into a chosen fast. It's not our chosen fast. It is the chosen fast of the Lord. Isaiah 58 starts out with, This is the fast that I have chosen. It's the Lord declaring, this is the fast I've chosen. You think you're fasting and you're going to be heard because you're humbling yourself and because you think you deserve to be heard. And God's saying, but the kind of fast I have chosen, this is what it accomplishes. It raises up age-old foundations. Where is our fasting raising up the age-old foundations? I don't know. Here's what the age-old foundations is, I think. Okay? Let Scripture interpret Scripture. That's what I like to do. Let the Bible declare what the Bible is saying. So I really believe that when you start to look at age-old foundations, you're looking at a foundation that's been established previously. It's age-old. It's generation upon generation. There are foundations there that have been established, and they're ancient ones. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We should just stop there. I actually like, you know, that's actually the first verse that came to my mind is, raise up the age-old foundations. Do you know the verse right before it? In Isaiah 58, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. So picture this. Ready? Picture this. You got a foundation. I tried to teach my kids this today. We do Bible time together, and I said, all right, Malachi, he's my son. Malachi, you love building Legos. And one of the things they like to do is build, how tall can you get this Lego building without it tipping over? You know? And I'm like, but if you don't have a good foundation there, if that thing is not planted in, and you don't have like other blocks like butting up around it, you know what I'm saying? Like you've got this base. It's a solid base. That thing can go higher and higher and higher. The more solid, sticky the Lego foundation is, the higher that thing's going to go. Here's the deal. What happens when that thing falls? All the loose blocks are now resting on top of that foundation. Sorry. Allergies or something, I don't know. Now you got to picture this with me, because when I was thinking of this, raise up the age-old foundations, rebuild the ancient ruins, I'm thinking, okay, the reason that you have to raise up age-old foundations is because they've been covered over. Amen? And the reason that you have to rebuild the ancient ruins is because they're broken down. And I'm thinking to myself, the word was raise up age-old foundations. Well, that means that there's probably a whole lot of stuff on top of the foundation that we just got to start to bulldoze out of the way. And do you know what the word raise up age-old foundations, it actually means arose. I'm thinking there's another prophetic type of what we're called to do is we're called to be a prophetic generation that brings back the foundation of Christ and his resurrection. Do you know that the apostles, in fact, Daryl Neal, the first time I heard someone speak on this, it was you. You were talking about why we can trust the message of the apostles. The apostolic message, the early disciples. You guys, they went to their death. They died preaching, having seen and witnessed the resurrected Christ. Now, someone won't go to their death if they, I mean, you got to be, you literally have to be insane if you're going to die for something you believe is a lie. Now, you can die for something that you believe is true and yet it's false. But for someone to say, my message is Christ was dead and I saw him resurrected and he is the risen king. And they all paid the price of their own life for it. That carries weight. Amen. This message is alive. It's potent. What is the foundation? The apostolic foundation is Christ has risen. Christ has died. Christ was buried. Christ has risen. Amen. Christ has risen. What does that mean for a generation that does not understand truth? What does that understand? What does that mean for a generation who, when they hear Jesus, Christ, Bible, all they do is compartmentalize it into a, this is religion. I go to a coffee shop quite often. It's like my office. In fact, I'm just going to say it. Fusion Brew, you are my office. I go to Fusion Brew. In fact, at times I will make my way over to Coffee Hound, for those of you Coffee Hound lovers, possibly. And I have lots of interesting conversations in these places. I don't know how they get struck up, but they do. And one of the things I was talking with one young lady, and she was saying, you know, I'm very spiritual. And I'm like, oh, well, me too. That's good. All right, you know. And I began to talk about the prophetic, and I began to talk about how God speaks. And she's like, yeah, I believe that, but maybe not in the same ways. She's like, I'm not the whole religion thing. Like, I don't believe in, like, the mythology of religion and all that. And I'm like, oh, that's where we disconnected. And I was like, wait a second. So what is it that you think when you think of, when I say Jesus or when I say the Bible, what are you thinking? You're not thinking like spirituality. You're not thinking of something that's like relevant and like engages with you, right? She's like, yeah, that's like a religion that's the same thing as every other religion. I'm like, oh, I'm learning. I'm like, oh, because I don't see it that way. But you know what she's talking about? What she really begins to unfold is her desperate hunger for intimacy, spiritual intimacy. What we were all made for. Eternity is in the heart of every single person. One time I was preaching open air on the campus at Illinois State University, and I remember, I'll never forget this, it was like the whole group of people, there was probably 100 or so people, just estimation. They were out there, and I was preaching just Jesus, and just not in a bashing way at all, in a hope-filled way. You are looking for hope. I have the answer. His name is Jesus. He loves you. He went to the cross for you. I think this is normal gospel. And at times I think, oh, this generation is tired of hearing this message. But then I'm beginning to think, as I'm looking at their faces, I'm like, no, they are actually captured right now. And I'm like, I asked the Holy Spirit while I'm speaking, Lord, what is happening right now? He said, eternity is in the heart of every person. And whenever an eternal word is spoken, it wakes up the eternity that's in the heart of every person. And I said, oh, so not every word that's spoken is an eternal word. And God says, no, only the word of God is an eternal word. So this people, this actually happened. They actually said to me, it was like one, so I preached what I felt was the gospel message, that Christ died, Christ was buried, Christ rose again, and he paid for your sin, and you can call on him today and be saved and know God. You know, this is what I'm preaching. I think I'm done. And I begin to walk away. And this is, I try to say this without exaggeration because this is exactly how I perceived it the way I saw it. It was like in one voice, the whole crowd said, no, wait, don't go. Tell us more. Tell us more. Like shouting it at me. I'm thinking, I am not done. But so here's what I went and preached again. I prayed for people. I talked with people. I had a guy come up afterwards who had actually fallen away from the Lord, and because of that time, given his life back to the Lord. Later on, I asked him, I said, man, what was happening? I said, I know what I saw with my eyes. what did you see? He said, you know, he said, when you were speaking, it was like I looked around and it was like wonderment came over their eyes. He said that word. I'm like, it's kind of like a religious Christian easy word. I'm like, but that's the only way he could describe it. And I'm thinking, wow, the foundation of our faith should inspire wonderment. It should create a wonder back in our own lives. Let alone what's going to happen when the nation begins to experience a rising foundation coming out of the church again. What kind of awakening is going to happen from coast to coast when the age-old foundation is raised up? The age-old foundation isn't conservative radio. No offense. The age-old foundation isn't even the Constitution. Praise the Lord for the Constitution. The age-old foundation is the one that Paul said, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. He's the ancient one, Jesus Christ. And until Jesus Christ gets raised back up, until a generation and a people understand that he is the risen Christ, this thing will ever live in a dormant place under ruins, thinking we have the building and the beauty of what God intended. And God's saying, no, this thing is buried over layers of junk, of ruin. There are things from former ages and generations that were raised up and they've been buried over time. And I'm calling my people to enter into the chosen fast that raises up age-old foundations. Amen. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I don't know. Lord, what does that mean? Here's what I think it means. I think it means that we say Christ, but it's possible, it's very possible. I will just say this, I'm very guilty of how the Bible says it, having a name that you're alive, but you're really dead. You ever hear that scripture? I think it's in Revelation. I think it's when he's speaking to one of the churches. I can't remember now which one. You have a name that you're alive, but you're actually dead. Oh, bummer. And I'm like, oh, you know what I don't like doing nowadays? I don't like telling people I'm a Christian. Because I'm not sure if I'm really ready to present what Christ died for. I'm not sure that my life manifests him in such a way where they actually would believe that. Because I think the Bible says that God says, my name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. I know that's a heavy word. That's like, oh, bummer. But really, what it means is, because you don't know who you are, and because you're content to have a foundation with rubble on top, the expression you're giving off is one that's covered over with layers and junk. And it's not really the true expression of the foundation. Come on. It's not really the expression of what I went to the cross for. It's not what I went and bit and went down into hell and took keys back from the devil. It's not what I ascended on high for. When the foundation is raised up, Christ begins to be seen. And it's not because he's seen on stained glass windows. Praise the Lord for any stained glass windows. But it's not because of any sort of religious compartment that we start to see him. It's because the manifestation of what has happened at Calvary and the resurrection begins to break out all over. And people are saying, only the Lord Jesus has victory and power to drive out my insanity. Only the Lord Jesus has victory and power to get me off of drugs. Only the Lord Jesus himself can heal my mom who's dying on a deathbed of cancer. It's Jesus. Where is this message? Where is the foundations being raised up? Where a generation living in darkness can say, behold, I've seen a great light. So God is saying, you can't do this apart from me. He's saying, go at it with all your fleshly might, and it's still, you can't manifest anything. That's good news. We should all just, oh. Because honestly, this message could be real heavy if we take the responsibility upon our own. I have tended to do that because sometimes I can just get fiery. I think, I can do this. And then after you walk through a couple battles, you're just like, I cannot do this. And you're like, wow, it's going to have to be you, God. But it's going to have to be inappropriate. It's going to have to be as I position myself by your grace for you to begin to move in that way again. So, what's the chosen fast? Sorry. The chosen fast. Well, I'm just not going to take the time to read all of Isaiah 58. It's just really good. But I think it's possible that the chosen fast is whatever God needs. It's however and whatever God needs to position your life so that the age-old foundation can be raised up again. When I say age-old foundation, I'm speaking broadly right now about Christ. In fact, in the book of Revelation, one of the churches that they preached to, or I'm sorry, that Jesus was speaking to, he commends them on their, you know, I can't remember. Jerry, you'll probably have to help me on this one. Jesus is speaking about the church that you've fallen from your first love. And then I believe in that, to that church, he says, repent, go back and do the things you did at first. And I'm thinking, well, first has to do with what is established first in life, in building, is foundation. Some people build their life. Listen, your life can't be built on anything but foundation. That's where your life comes from. Some people have really faulty foundation. Some people have really solid foundation. But Jesus is saying, go back and do the things you did at first. In other words, there was something in your foundation. The ruins were not over it at that time. Things were not covering it over. You were religious at that time. Your heart was raw and tender, and you could be touched by my word. You could hear my voice. You could be moved with my spirit. You actually loved being in worship because we encountered each other. But now it's religion. And God's saying, you've got to go back to the first foundation of, oh, when this thing was alive in me, when this thing was fresh. But this thing has become age old. Somehow along the way, I've gotten really old in this thing. I've gotten really wrinkly and decrepit and slow. And now, my confession about Jesus is more hypocrisy than it is reality. Doesn't that make sense? I say that out of guilt. I mean, I'm not trying to put guilt on anybody. I'm just saying that's how many times. It's possible that you could take this wrong and become works law-based. And I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm saying, but for the grace of God, there we would all go. But the grace of the Lord Jesus has come to us. Amen. And it hasn't just come to us in a minimal way, it's come to us in abounding measures. Where sin is abounding, grace there much more abounds. That thing, that baby is hopping over every sin that comes our way. Grace in Christ bounds us towards Him. Where am I going? I just get really amazed by I'm going to pick on NF. Anybody ever heard the rapper NF? Joe's. Okay, sorry. I was trying to dress like him tonight because I actually like him. I think he's kind of cool. I'm like, this is a stretch for me to wear a shirt this long and jeans this thin. So anyway, never mind. This will not relate, but I'm going to try to make it relate. Okay, so NF's this like up-and-coming Christian rapper. And I like the dude. I like his realness. Amen? Okay. You know what he does really well? He breaks the religiousness off of being a Christian in a non-Christian environment and culture. He's in an entertainment industry with speaking clean lyrics with talent that's almost surpasses most of the secular guys. And the whole beat of his drum is him being real. And I feel like it's really helped a lot of people in this generation because they're thinking, oh man, my Christian walk sounds more like this guy than it does what I'm seeing portrayed on Sunday mornings where everybody seems to be like, they all have it together and there's just this fakeness about it. And nobody's talking about real life. So NF talks about real life, at least in the form of struggle and what he's gone through. And it's reaching a generation who doesn't understand Jesus yet, but they understand struggle. I've appreciated that. But one thing I just wish we could get past is that when you insert Jesus, when is the day when Jesus is going to lose this shell of religion on the name? And when you hear the name of Jesus, it's going to stir pandemonium in a culture because they're all going to know that name drove out my suicide demon. That name healed my body. That name rescued my mom and dad's marriage. That name. But up until this point, there's this fear now of Christian entertainers who want to influence a secular culture. They can't quite bring the name of Jesus or some of the gospel into it because right now it's compartmentalized into this religious box and somehow we've been wired to tune it out. And I think God's saying, but when the age-old foundation rises, that's when we're going to begin to see the next great awakening touch the hardest and the darkest. This thing's going to the streets. This thing is going to the gang members. This thing is going to drug addicts. This thing is going to begin to sweep in high schools. The people you think now are mocking God are going to be not slain. Maybe they'll be slain. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's just going to explode on them and get knocked off their horse. Lord, Lord, it's you. Can we believe this way? I'm like, oh, NF, you got it. But you know what? I wish you'd talk about his blood, the blood of Jesus. I just wish you'd just talk about it. Talk about the cross. Talk about the suffering of the Christ who took it on himself. Just talk about it. You know, that's real. Yeah. You're only partly real when you talk about your struggle and your suffering and all the issues you've gone through. If you want to really talk about reality, let's talk about what the Ancient One did when he broke through the veil in human flesh, took your sin and all your struggle and all the hopelessness and despair for eternity on himself, and rose up and seated in a place, and he's reserving a room and a mansion for you right now. Does this make sense? Sometimes I just think that what I'm saying should make sense since I'm yelling it. But then later I think about it, I'm like, I don't even know if that made sense, what I just said. But we were talking about raising up the age-old foundations. I believe in every past move of God, there was a revelation of Jesus Christ that was made known to that generation. I believe in every past move of God, true move of God, there was a revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. Amen? This church is not going to be built up into what God intended unless the ancient foundations, the age-old foundation is raised up. But I believe every move of God that's been a legit move of God has in some way expressed a certain revelation or made known a certain manifestation of who Jesus is. Now, of course, the devil works in some of those times and, you know, people get confused and there's like, well, that was flesh and this was God. But what God was after was through these times were expressions or truths. He was recovering something that needed to be made known. And I believe today, when God's saying, raise up the age-old foundations, he's saying, we need to recover the lost truths, the lost revelation about Jesus Christ. Because it is not, salvation for this nation isn't coming, first and foremost, through any other means but Jesus Christ. And can I just submit this? I believe the house of prayer is part and parcel to bringing forth and birthing that revelation. I believe God is establishing the houses of prayer. See, it's not even just that God, see, God is establishing centers like this. This is a center because you're forerunning and pioneering something that has been lost through time. It's a revelation about what Jesus even called. Do you know that he said, when Jesus came to Jerusalem and he started to turn over tables, you know, right before that, he was weeping over the city. And he said, if you'd only known what made for peace, but you did not. You didn't know the time of your visitation. That's all in context with him coming and driving out the money changers and saying, this house, my house, shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. He was saying, you know what's going to make peace for your city? You know what's going to create the rule of the Prince of Peace in your regions and your cities? Is the church flowing and functioning in the revelation of my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. God is recovering. God is raising up individual centers of prayer that go night and day. But that purpose, I believe, is also intended to reestablish the culture of house of prayer to the whole body of Christ. Amen? Because one center is not doing it in any city or any state or any region until the whole body of Christ moves into the wineskin that God is establishing. He's saying, time is short. I'm coming for the nations. And the house of prayer has to be moving with the prophetic timing of your visitation. The house of prayer has to begin to lay straight the foundations. You have to raise up age-old foundations. I'm preparing the way through the houses of prayer. Does this make sense? Well, I just think that God is going to get back to the preaching of Christ. I think God's going to get back to the house of prayer. See, when I say preaching of Christ, I'm not just talking about talking. I think we have to no longer dissect talking and being. Our talk and our being is the same, should be. And we all need, God, align us. Align my words with my feet. Let my talking and my going be one and the same. Let my talking and being be the same thing. I believe that's why Jesus communicated in such power, is because he talked from what was in reality. And see, that's what Christ is. The Bible says Christ is a many-membered body, right? Christ is a many-membered body on this earth. As he is in heaven, so are we in this earth. We actually have resurrection power in him. And apart from his resurrection power, we could not make known Christ. Paul said, I don't want your faith to rest on the wisdom of men. I want it to be on the power of God. Because if it's on the wisdom of men, you can get talked into it and get talked out of it. If it's on the power of God, that can't be created by man. This making sense? So I think that God is coming to teach Christ again. He's saying, I'm going to show you what Christ looks like. And praise God for the old wineskins that were in generations past. God's saying, I'm going to pull from every one of those revelations that has been true to who I am. I'm going to restore the message of deliverance that came in the 50s and the 60s. I'm going to restore the healing wave and revival that came in the 40s. I'm going to restore the charismatic element of the Spirit, the grace gifts. Did you know that's what charismatic means? Grace gifts. We're almost there. We're starting to talk a lot about grace. And that's the first revelation we need before we start to move in the gifts of grace. But do you understand what I'm saying? God is on, he is sweeping through time, and he's saying, I am raising up these age-old foundations, and I'm raising him up through a people who I am choosing a fast to work through. I was feeling really bad recently. I was saying, Kelly, God's called me to fast so much, and I have not. I just talked about Butterburgers tonight. Poor Josie, I'm leaving a terrible example. No, don't, yeah, we'll talk. I try to fast sometimes. But here's what Kelly said something to me. She goes, this whole season has been like a fast. She goes, do you know how much this season has been like death? I was like, oh. Do you think this was the chosen fast of the Lord? I wonder if in this process, an age-old foundation is starting to rise up again. And I'm beginning to think, I'm like, you know what, I've had some food fasting, but very little. Almost no food fasting. And yet my hunger for God in this season has started to grow and increase, because there's been a chosen fast that God says, this isn't going to be pleasant for your flesh. You might still be eating, but you're going to die in your flesh. You're going to feel the fast that I have chosen for you. But in the process, it's going to raise up the age-old foundation. In the process, you're going to restore, rebuild the ancient ruins. In the process, blah, 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 blah. You know, Isaiah 58. How are we doing? So, I just want to take off any condemnation right now. Let the Lord take that off you, where you would say, oh man, I haven't fasted either. Well, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, can I just say this? Jesus loves every single one of you and me. He loves us. And I think full-time ministry is, I shouldn't say it, because there is like a set apart going to full-time ministry, but really, we're all ministers of reconciliation. Amen? We're all ministers. I mean, we're all full-time living this thing for Jesus. Amen? I mean, so, we should not confuse the significance of your calling and your importance in the kingdom. Never do that. Never. We should never, ever, ever do that. Don't compare yourself with that calling or this calling, because you demean what God has said about you. When you start to compare, I believe it grieves the Holy Spirit. He's saying, oh, you don't know about you. You don't know about you. And I just really feel like the Lord wants some of you to know about you. Tyler, why don't you come on up, man? You want to play?
Yeah.
Joe, if you want to, whatever. I don't. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I do believe every single one of us has a calling to raise up age-old foundations in our life, meaning the ancient one who has called your name when you came to faith in Jesus. God's saying, I want all the rubble cleared away. There is a chosen fast for you in this season. God said, I have a chosen fast for you specifically, you personally in this season. And maybe that might feel heavy, but God's chosen fast might just be a repositioning of your life so that you get back to time with Him, so that you are stop being distracted with social media, or you put down something. And God's saying, but in the process, what you were called to be in Christ, Christ is going to rise in you. He's going to come with healing in His wings. He's going to come and rise in your midst. Hunger for Him is going to be restored again. Intimacy, where you actually begin to cry. Do anybody remember the days? And maybe they're right now, praise the Lord. But you remember the times where you just heard a worship song and instantly you started to cry because your heart was that tender. Because your love for what the Lord had done for you was so real. God's saying, I want to raise that age-old foundation back again. I want you to remember what my presence feels like. Not just because you remember it from a long time ago. I want you to remember it like it's right now. Because I'm going to begin to move in your life. Listen, the house of prayer, the building, the ministry of this place, it will be dry without individuals who are coming back to their first love. Amen. And so, I don't know. I kind of felt like maybe just on a personal note, maybe there's a lot to intercede for on a national level, but I just feel maybe tonight we just actually have a time of, hey, I want to actually take a step forward of saying, I want to go back and do the things I did at first. I want to, wherever I've fallen from first love. Can I tell you a quick story? So this past fall, I'm sorry, where are we at? We're in the fall. Today's fall. So in the spring, it was like February, March. Lord told me, I want you to go back to all the places. Because you know what? I looked at my life and I was like, ugh, there's a foundation somewhere down there. And I cannot see you, Lord. Christ, out of you bubbles up life. But I must have just stuffed that well with all sorts of craziness or junk or confusion. And the Lord said, I want you to go back to all the physical locations, Andrew. I'm not saying that you have to do this. This was just what the Lord told me. Go back to all the places physically where you and I had a real significant encounter or exchange. He said, I remember those. Will you go back and remember those? Go back and remember those. Go back and talk to me in that place. Ask me again to do what I did in that place. Ask me to spring back up what was flowing in that moment. So I did this. I went back around. And can I just say that, like, just the act of, God, I just want to be with you again. I just want to go back and feel your presence again. I just want to be close to your heart again. Just those simple things, simple prayers, just started to bring revival to my heart. And God just refreshed. So let's just finish the time out with, this isn't for me, but I do want to pray. I just want to lay hands on anybody that wants to come up, and anybody else want to help me lay hands on people. But I just wanted to ask if people want, and just by taking a step, you remember what I said at the beginning? Don't let what God is speaking tonight just get taken. sow this right now in faith. Sow what God's putting in your heart in faith. I would say appropriate the word that God's speaking to you as individuals right now by faith, and just take a step of faith and say, you know what, I want to come up not as a show, but as a sincere act of faith before the Father, before the Lord. Say, God, I know you see me. I want that foundation raised up in me. I want intimacy again. I want to sense the very real presence of God. And I want to know your voice in a fresh way. I want to be hungry again for the word of God. I want to feel like we're actually having a relationship again. I want to feel that again. I want to know that this is what I'm for, and that you're not done with me, and I've got hope. I just believe God wants to start to minister to you tonight, just individually. So I just want to ask, come on up right now, just all across the front, if that's you. I'm just going to lay hands and pray blessing and pray grace. And if anybody else feels faith and you want to just come and lay hands on people, that's cool too. Awesome. Dude, no, yeah. Derek had a good idea. Why don't we all just come forward and we'll just circle up? And then anybody who came up here specifically for this, we'll just push you in the middle and just pray blessing on you. So.